Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, Tuesday. What's up? Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Happy to be with you as we take you up to Nationals baseball this evening. Benjamin Solak of the Draft Network, very, very good analyst when it comes to breaking down the draft on the show today at 3. What do you like about Washington's draft? What didn't he? And we'll go around the NFL with him as well. What's up, Danny?
Not much, my friend. Beautiful outside. I got my bike yesterday. I was gifted a bike for my birthday, which is all the way back in August, and I finally got it yesterday. There's a worldwide bike shortage. It's a whole saga, whatever, whatever. All I want to do is ride around on my bike for like 20, 30 minutes instead of running, because running hurts. It hurts my shins, my back, my knees. I'm an old man. I want to do something low impact and still get a sweat in. You can't just ride a bike anymore. There's 900 gears. There's 1,000 different things. There's this chain. There's that chain. There's a blockchain. There's Dogecoin. I don't know anything about it. It's so annoying. It used to be you could just turn on the TV and like change the channel. And that's it. Now it's like you got to voice command this and that and the other thing. Sometimes all the technology and all the advancements aren't better. I remember last time I had a bike, I was like 14 years old. I would just get on and ride. And that was it. And it was easy and it was fun. For some reason, you can't do that now. It's a pain in the butt. So I was getting assistance from Brian Mitchell, guy that should be in the Hall of Fame, one of my favorite Washington Redskins at that point of all time. He was explaining how to ride a bike to me basically just now. Weird times, my friend. Weird times.
My first thought, and I don't know what I don't know here, so you don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
My guess is you bought a biker's bike. You didn't just buy a bike. I think if you just buy a bike, like what I would buy at Sports Authority off the rack or something like that. I guess Sports Authority's probably out of business or something. But Dick's Sporting Goods.
Right.
Then you just get on that bike and you ride it on the street outside of your house. Are you buying like a bike to go do like 26 miles?
No.
And try to win a gold jacket?
No, that's what everybody seems to want. That's what bike people want. I'm not a bike person.
But this
I'm not,
is my next question.
Yeah.
Or are you going to become a bike guy?
Never once.
I've never met someone who just rides their bike. It's either you're an adult, you don't
you're,
have
and
a
you're
bike
a bike
anymore.
Guy. Yeah.
Because why would I have a bike? I'm an adult. I stopped picking. This is kind of the pantheon, right? I graduate fifth grade. At some point along the way, I stopped eating my boogers, and now I don't ride bikes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only people who ride bikes, other than children, are bike guys.
Yeah.
Big-time bike guys who wear spandex, who post pictures wearing spandex, riding their bike, getting a sweat in. And so I'm wondering, Danny Ruye, are you going to be a bike guy?
Never once. And I'm telling those people right now, great, you're getting exercise, but you're wrong. Don't do that. There's no need to do that. T-shirts are fine. Regular shorts are fine. They're going to tell me, nah, then don't do it.
I can't wait till a year from now
Never.
When you're doing some weird ride with some bike group out of Winchester and you're all spandexed up and that's how you spend your
Tell
Saturdays
you what,
and your Sundays.
Go out there and wait and see if you see me. Take your time. Bring some binoculars and a nice little chair to sit down and like that guy with the meme who shows up to watch stuff. I'm not doing that. I just want to ride for a few minutes to not be fat and not be in pain all the time. That's all I want is just to not be gross. That's all we're trying to do here is stave off grossness. But it's really hard. So I got like the most regular bike of all the bikes. Does that make sense? They're like, you can get this composite hybrid electric 2000. I want to get on the bike and pedal the bike around my neighborhood for 25 minutes. You can't even do that. It's still too complicated with all the different gears and stuff. I thought, hey, I'm in this gear. Are you in the gear though? Are you really? I'm not like scouring the internet for owner's manuals and tutorials. First of all, you feel completely inadequate and terrible and embarrassed. Second of all, still didn't get to ride my bike. Just wanted to ride it.
So you
have
the bike.
It. Yeah.
And you, when you say, I can't ride it around my neighborhood, it's uncomfortable or you literally can't go forward?
I sit on the bike seat that I've adjusted to my height.
Yes.
I grip the handles. I know how to.
And you try to pedal.
Do an operation at a bike. Feet are on the pedals. I pedal. It goes around and 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 around. And around. That doesn't have anything to do with what the wheels are doing.
So it's like a stationary bike.
Yes. And so because the bike's not moving, now I start to tip and I've got to put my foot on the ground. There's something, some kind of, you have to be in the right gear to do the thing. And then if you're not in the right gear, you've got to switch the gear. But you have to be moving to switch the gear.
It sounds awful.
It's in the middle of my neighborhood. There are people around.
How much do bikes cost?
Thousands. This one doesn't. This one, I think this one was like $500. And even that's too much.
That's a lot.
It's an astounding amount.
By the way, I am taken aback. The bike you're talking about cost over $500?
Yeah. That's the basic model for people that aren't biker guys.
Let's find another way to burn calories. That is so expensive.
It's incredibly expensive.
You could have gotten a personal trainer for that money.
Absolutely. But then they're like, you do this hit cross circuit trainer lift jump thing and be sore. I don't care about your dumb back. Eat fewer calories. Be starving. Like, no, just let me ride my bike around. I just want to ride a bike. This is not a ridiculous request. I just like to ride my bike around the neighborhood. And somehow it eludes me yet again. I was better off without a bike, not knowing that I'm this close to being this far away. If there was no chance that I even had a bike, like had been for the last, whatever, 6-7 months, I wouldn't feel as bad as I feel right now. All I wanted to do, beautiful outside, I've got a window of 30 minutes, I just want to ride around. I couldn't do it. Exasperating.
The Pacers also couldn't do something last night.
No, sir.
They could not stop Russell Westbrook. 295 combined points in this game. The Wizards, historically brilliant offensively, 154 in their win to get to 30-35. They're chasing the Pacers. This would be massive if they could catch them because they would then be the 9 seed, whereas Indiana would be the 10 seed in the play-in tournament. And the Pacers would have to beat the Wizards twice without losing rather than Washington being able to just win 1 out of 3 games to advance, which would be, or I should say 1 out of the first couple games they play to advance, which would be a pretty cool deal. But last night was the Russell Westbrook show. What Russell Westbrook is doing for the Wizards, I don't think anybody saw coming midway through the season. We now know, you and I were speculating, a lot of people said he's not healthy. It was pretty clear watching him, he didn't have his burst. And he was basically playing with what sounds like maybe a torn quad or something like that. He is a different man right now. Just absolutely possessed. 21 rebounds.
Amazing.
24 assists last night. 14 points. And he only had 14 points because he never shot.
Just 8 shots.
Completely unselfish, just dishing constantly, getting people easy looks at the rim. They had 96 paint points last night. There have been 3 games in the history of basketball where someone had 20 rebounds and 20 assists. Russell Westbrook now has 2 of them.
Westbrook, the lob, Gafford, the dunk, and there is a franchise-tying 24th assist by Russell Westbrook.
That was Justin Kutcher on the call, NBC Sports Washington. Now, while this performance was otherworldly and Westbrook has been one of the 5 best players in basketball since the All-Star break, I think Scott Brooks may have given us a little hyperbole last night as he labeled Westbrook among the great point guards who have ever played.
I used to always say he's going to probably go down as the 3rd best point guard ever, but I think he's past 1 and he's going to go down as probably the 2nd best. And 1 is obviously Magic. What he does, there's no point guard has ever done it. Nobody. And for him to average 4 triple-doubles in 5 years, what Oscar said about him was, to me, that was real. He's doing MVP-type things every game. And he's an MVP winner every night on the floor and off the floor. But if he was selfish, he would have had a 20-20-20 game. But he was very comfortable only shooting 3 shots at halftime. Not a lot of star players in this league are comfortable only taking 3 shots at halftime.
So just to that point, just real quick, different eras, it makes it really, really hard to compare, right? I mean, Magic kind of gets his own category because of everything that he accomplished and how great
Magic
he was.
Magic is number one ever at the position.
So then for me, it's because Russell Westbrook's not done just yet. It's different where you probably couldn't get away with some of the way that he plays at this point, right? But I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. Like, where would I put him all time? And what we're seeing right now, I'm just going to let it happen before I start quantifying it. But you have to say, part of what Scott Brooks said, We have never seen this. If Russell Westbrook played the rest of the season, rest of the games for Washington, suited up, didn't get DNPs, but was in the lineup. So they play what? 2, 4, 6, 8, I think 9 more games, I think, right? Or 8, maybe 8 more games. And he accumulated 0 points, 0 assists, and 0 rebounds in each one of those games. He would average a triple-double for the season.
For the fourth time in his career.
For the fourth time in his career. The point is, he has now secured, because you can't do negatives, he has now secured averaging a triple-double. Averaging a triple-double. It's maybe a little bit easier than it's ever been before, and it's kind of a different era of basketball. You're not competing with, you know, everybody's got a 7-foot tower that's a dominant rebounder. That's fine. He's still the best rebounding guard I've ever seen in my life. And the speed and power and explosion, everybody knows what's coming. He's going towards the rim and either getting a bucket himself, finishing at the glass, or kicking it to somebody. You know what's coming. You can't stop it. It's Mariano Rivera's cutter at this point. He's playing great basketball, and it's fun.
He's got 32 trip-dubs this season, passing Wilt Chamberlain in 67-68 when he played against five guys that looked like me with my hands in the air as he dunked on me. Fourth most in a season all time. Westbrook has 3 of the top 4 single-season totals in NBA history. So a couple of things. First and foremost, just as a reminder, just scrolling through Twitter looking for all the people telling me he was done. Just looking for people telling me they shouldn't have traded John Wall for him. Absolutely incorrect. False. You wasted all of our time. That's number one. We want our time back. Number two, I don't want to play this team in the playoffs. Yeah. If I'm a team in the East, this guy's playing like this. I mean, someone says, oh, he turned the ball over 6 times last night. He had 24 assists. He had an 8-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio last night. I guess that math doesn't check out.
4-to-1.
4-to-1 is what I'm looking for. Thank you. 4-to-1 ratio last night. It's going to be okay. I've never seen anyone do this. And then I'm thinking about it. I'm going, well, of course I haven't. No point guard's ever been able to do this. To what you just said, what Scott Brooks is saying. His game is, they've made one of these models ever. This is it. This is the guy who's ever been able to do this.
And Magic did similar things at 6'8". Right? When he played center, and that part of, again, why he's so transcendent, he could do anything on a basketball court. He was a guy that could get double-digit rebounds when it called for. Right? He was a guy that could average over 10, 11, 12 assists per game. His career stats, by the way, over 11 assists per. It just, again, in a different time where there's just less space to operate. What Westbrook is doing is not done. And I wonder what would happen if this group was a little bit different. Like if you had a couple more wings or, you know, a great center on this roster that wasn't just, you know, kind of gimmicky, like whether it's Alex Len or Daniel Gafford who's there to catch and dunk. I wonder how different his stats would be. I know this is really fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, their centers are playing great right now, whatever you think of them as players. Len last night had 12. Gafford had 15. Rolo had 11. So combined for almost 40 points, those three guys. Also, last night in D.C., Capitals, despite not having T.J. Oshie, not having Justin Schultz, losing Alex Ovechkin after one shift.
20 seconds, man.
May have come back too soon, which is scary and worries me going into the playoffs. We can get into that later. Lost Tom Wilson for a 10-minute game misconduct. Still beat the Rangers going away, 6-3. Willie came back and had an empty netter at the end of the game. Pretty gutsy win against a team they've struggled with. This year, they were getting goals from some of their depth guys down the roster, like Nick Dowd and Garnet Hathaway. They got a huge goal from Daniel Sprong, proved to be the game winner, who has 5 in his last 5 games. Every time Ovi's off the ice,
he scores
a goal.
Yeah.
But the story of the game was Tom Wilson getting into it with the Rangers. He punched at a defenseless player who was laying in the crease, who had been whacking at the puck and trying to irritate a Capitals goalie. Happens a lot in hockey, but the punch to the back of the head was not good at all. And then Artemi Panarin came after Tom Wilson after seeing the punch, and Wilson proceeded to look at that little fly and body slam him.
See,
and
that's adorable.
Took great umbrage with that. This was how it sounded last night on MSG, the network the Rangers play on. I think this is Sam Rosen, just based on the voice that I heard earlier.
Here's Panarin down low for Buchnevich. He was tied up. Oh, Van Riemsdyk with a terrific play on Buchnevich. Now they're pounding Buchnevich on the ice.
Now Wilson.
Wilson's throwing punches.
Yeah, well, he went after, I think, Buchnevich.
Oh, boy.
Now Wilson.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Panarin.
What is Wilson doing?
Well, you know, he has been incensed ever since he was given that penalty.
So he goes after Panarin?
So a couple of things there, okay? I have always been very honest with my assessment on hockey and where it's headed. I wouldn't suspend guys almost ever, but very rarely would I ever suspend a player for a hit within the parameters of the game. Big hit, elbow up high, you know, you saw it recently with Tom Wilson against the Bruins. I would just rarely suspend guys, and I've often said, and I did then, I wouldn't have suspended Tom Wilson. What I have always said is the extracurricular stuff after the whistle, the licking a guy's face, the slew-footing someone, the whacking them in the junk with a puck, you know, that type of, with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those types of things, the hitting guy, a guy from behind in the back of the head, sucker punching him, those types of things are suspendable in my opinion. So while almost every single time before this I said Tom Wilson should not have been suspended, I would have had no problem with a game for Tom Wilson here, to be completely honest with you. Now, do I think it was as big of a deal as the Rangers media and fans are making it? Absolutely not. They're acting like he killed a guy, or almost did. In fact, Larry Brooks, a columnist in New York, and I think he was wearing an Artemi Panarin jersey when he wrote the column from how it reads, literally said that. Said he almost killed him. If he landed on his head, the NHL would be dealing with a death, and I'm paraphrasing. It was a joke of a column, in my opinion. It was ridiculous. He acted like Tom Wilson took out a gun and almost shot Artemi Panarin. What are we doing here? Hockey happened. Guys in the crease whacking at a goaltender and a puck. Players come over and mush the guy. What I didn't like was the punch to the back of the head of a defenseless dude on the ice. And because it's Wilson, he's got a track record. Everyone will be up in arms. But if the DOPS came back and said, we're giving you a game or two for the punch, even though I would have said, I don't love two games there, I would have had less of a problem with that than when they suspend him several games for hockey hits during a hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
Having said all of that, the New York media, you hear it in the, this is ridiculous. It's not that ridiculous. It's just hockey. What is Wilson doing? Doing what you've seen in every game all season long, guys after a play or getting into it. They said he went after Panarin or attacked Panarin. Panarin went after him very clearly. Watch the video. Panarin sees him hit his teammate. He goes after him. Fine. But then don't tell me he like picked on Artemi Panarin and went and skated over and grabbed him and body slammed him, which is what they pretended all day, all night long in New York. This guy that wrote this column acting like Tom Wilson almost killed Artemi Panarin, this Lester guy, he came after him. Wilson threw him on the ice. The heck do you want him to do? But I would not have had a big problem with the game for Tom Wilson.
So we agree in part here, and I go further. When hockey happens, when two people face off, bad pun, and one guy loses, that's when the league disciplinary action comes down. So Wilson's been suspended for stuff that I wouldn't suspend anybody for. I'm not talking about Tom Wilson. This is the kind of crap that I would suspend for. I think this is ridiculous. Imagine an out-at-home plate that's closely contested where a runner slides, there's a bit of a collision, something happens. Then imagine the third baseman comes running in and punches the runner in the head. We would throw beyond hissy fits.
In hockey, these are every play.
I understand. It needs to not be.
Okay. This is the first time you've seen anything like this. You're just saying this in hockey, which it was Wednesday. You know, it's Tuesday.
We accept this as it's a normal thing. Somebody punches thrown, the face washing after the whistle. Stop all of this. Stop all of it immediately. This is the stuff you should try to get out of the league. This is the stuff we should try to get rid of. Not violent collisions that happen in the course of play. I'm sorry that when two guys are going full speed, one guy ducked his head slightly and now there's an elbow involved. I'm sorry that one guy, in terms of playing the puck, was kind of close to these rigid boards. I'm sorry. That's hockey. There's very little that can be done about that at full speed. Things can be done about this. So the league, to me, has everything backwards. You're going to suspend a guy for, in Wilson's case, a month, whenever that was, a couple years ago, where he got his 20 games, but then it was 17, but then it was 14 somehow. Thanks again. I'm sure I'll pick up those three games somewhere. Seven games this year. None of those, to me, were correct. This is what they should be suspending for. Instead, this is just a minuscule fine. This is pay a parking ticket here for a guy. I think they got it backwards. You want to be upset at Tom Wilson today? I am a little bit. Don't do that. I don't think you need to be punching people that are defenseless on the ground. That's my take on it. But, you know, the serial offender, he's a criminal kind of stuff. It's going to be over the top. Well, I'm aware of that. I kind of don't care about what they say.
This guy, Larry Brooks, was calling for him to be banned from the league.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous.
Like, kick him out for the rest of the season. He should have to reapply. Please take your Rangers sweater off while you're writing your column. It was a joke. It really was. I thought it was ridiculous. Absolutely, unequivocally ridiculous. But having said that, like you, didn't like the punch. Wouldn't have had a problem with the game for the punch. Didn't get suspended. And I do think it needs to be stated that by and large, everything that happened happens a lot in hockey.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does. The one part that I just can't abide and can't get past is this idea that he attacked Artemi Panarin. You know, you heard it on the call there, went after him. Panarin quite literally went and jumped Wilson. Wilson, who's massive, Panarin is not, then proceeded to slam him on the ground. Sorry about that. Please leave me alone. I'm dealing with something else over here. You go your own separate way. We'll get into this later. We'll take your calls on the $5,000 fine versus a suspension. Did the DOPS get this right? And does Tom Wilson need to make some changes to the game? We can do that at 425 today. Grant and Danny on the Fan next. I think you guys are going to be really surprised what Ron Rivera said on national radio last night about Ryan Fitzpatrick's future here in Washington. Is there a chance that he's here as the starter for more than 1 year? Wait till you hear this next. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Thanks, as always, for making the show part of your day. 3 o'clock, Benjamin Solak of the Draft Network on what the Washington football team was able to accomplish over 7 rounds, making 10 picks. We got audio of Terry Bradshaw saying Aaron Rodgers is the bad guy in his relationship with the Packers. Get to that in just a bit. Is that how people really think? Is that how people feel about this? That Rodgers is just a big jerk and the Packers are kind of victims in all of this? We'll discuss. But speaking of audio, Danny, Ron Rivera was on CBS Sports Radio nationally last night, I think with Zach Gelb. And he was asked about Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in for this year to be the starter. You and I have gone back and forth quite a bit on not addressing quarterback of the future this offseason. I think most of us who were adamant about not wasting a draft pick on a quarterback within the last few days have just kind of assumed they're going to find their quarterback of the future next year.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I have not considered at any point is what Ron Rivera brought up on CBS Sports Radio last night nationally. Listen to this question and answer and see if something jumps out to you.
And just with his age, it's tough to assume that he's a long-term answer. Were you guys close to drafting a quarterback or maybe moving up in this draft?
Well, we looked at it. We looked at the options and stuff like that. And quite honestly, you know, we felt the other option for us was to build the rest of the pieces and put those in place. And hey, what's to say if Ryan doesn't play well and he's got a lot left, and why don't you bring him back? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. We got to go out and compete and see what happens this year.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick plays well.
Wait, what?
If Ryan Fitzpatrick shows that he's got a lot left, what's to say that we don't bring him back?
And there it is.
Said Ron Rivera on national CBS Sports Radio last night. Fitzpatrick is 38.
Yes, he is.
Is it possible? So play the clip again. You're going to hear a lot of like what he's been saying, what he said with Brian Mitchell and J.P. Finley and kind of all over the radio tour yesterday. We wanted to build around the quarterback position. All of that, I've heard this. Makes sense. Fitzpatrick might be a 2-year guy?
Well, we looked at it. We looked at the options and stuff like that. And quite honestly, you know, we felt the other option for us was to build the rest of the pieces and put those in place. And
hey,
what's to say if Ryan doesn't play well and he's got a lot left, and why don't you bring him back? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. We got to go out and compete and see what happens this year.
First time. We've heard this.
I have always thought this was a possibility, and I'm not smarter than anybody else. My point is, they didn't make a decision, and they're going to be in the exact same spot next year. They'll lose some players, like Brandon Scherff. They'll gain some players via the draft or free agency, have some cap room, have maybe a little bit less as you start to extend guys. Guys like Jonathan Allen need to get paid, Daron Payne, Terry McLaurin's coming up soon, all that other kind of stuff. They'll be in a similar boat next year. Not going to be easy to find their quarterback next year either. They might just keep kicking the can down the road in perpetuity. Find me another journeyman. It could be the same journeyman that journeyed his way here, who will show you some good, a lot of bad, be who he's always been, and maybe that's good enough. It's not good enough for me. I want a franchise guy long term. I want to never think about the quarterback position for a decade. But they're not into that right now. I think they're going to be in the same spot, and that's always been on the table to me.
This isn't necessarily a terrible thing. Here's what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzpatrick has to play well to earn the job for 2022, presumably. Rivera says, I don't remember the exact wording, but if he's really good and if he shows that he's got football left. Meaning, if he's not particularly good, or if he looks like an old guy who can't do it anymore, then we have our one-year rental. He'll get us to the finish line of this season, and we'll go figure out what we need at the position. His point is, though, the analytics, the metrics tell you Fitzpatrick is better now than he used to be. His touchdown ratio has sustained. His interceptions have gone down. He's over a 4,000-yard passer with a much more efficient touchdown-interception ratio in the last 16 games. And I think Rivera's point is, if he plays at a high level and he doesn't look 38 while he's doing it, then maybe you can bring him back and he'll be in the mix the following year. What does that mean for the 2022 offseason? I think the only thing it would change, because I still believe they're actually going to try to bring in a veteran. I think the Matt Stafford trade market
right,
of next year.
That tier, yeah.
Maybe it's Derek Carr at that time when the Raiders have decided to move on. Something like that. Like, if there's odds you can go bet on right now, just, I know nothing. This is not something I've heard. I'd put $10 on Derek Carr right now today. Just put $10 on him. Somebody like that is going to shake free. That apple will fall from the tree and Washington's going to pounce. That's what I think is going to happen. That's how I think they're going to solve this. But this opens the door potentially to what you talked about as being one of the things you kind of liked about drafting a quarterback this year. You have Fitzpatrick. You have Allen or Heinicke, whoever stays. Basically, you've got decent guys to learn from. Draft and stash. Like, maybe next year they can take that Trey Lance in 2022.
Right, the Mac Jones that comes close, yeah.
It's super wrong. Raw, not Mac Jones. I think he's closer to playing. Trey Lance, you know, your raw guy hasn't played a lot.
I see.
Different level. And you stash him behind Fitz. And then six games into his second year here, Fitzpatrick gives the reins over. So it just got me thinking. I heard that last night, and it was one of those things that stops you in your tracks because there's been so much talk all offseason about finding the long-term answer at quarterback. There's been zero mention, to my knowledge, of Fitz being anything more than a one-year bridge.
Than a placeholder, right? So this, to me, is the thing that I'm waving my arms like a crazy person, repeating over and over, is they don't have a long-term answer, and they're just hoping one's going to present itself. That's my view of the situation. They just shot the flare gun up in the air that says, we don't have a long-term answer, and we're kind of open to anything, right? Like,
I think that's how it always is. I mean, you don't have one. You got to find one. They're not just sitting there waiting. If they were easy to find or if they were available, they'd already have the guy.
They were available. They weren't that interested in going to get guys. Anyone from this draft, for example, to try.
Mean, they didn't like those guys enough.
And that's my point. They didn't like them. So okay, well, are we sure we're going to be in love next year? The point that I keep making is they're going to be in the exact same spot, maybe worse next year. Or a similar spot. Maybe a little bit better, a little bit worse. But the point is you're going to have to try at some point to do it. And they decided not to do it this year. Non-Matt Stafford division. They made an attempt. It's clear to me that they know they need one.
Watson before what happened with him.
Right. It's clear that they know that they need one, but they're also very aware of their own situation that we're not willing to spend too much in terms of draft capital, money, otherwise, right? So we're willing to settle again and just kind of keep kicking this down the road. This Ryan Fitzpatrick multi-year thing to me was always on the table. Or another Jag from that tier. They're willing to Band-Aid this thing at the expense of not bottoming out to make it easier to find the quarterback. And that's kind of the quandary, right? It's sort of the catch-22. You're not bad enough to be bad. You can get a top 5, 7, 8, 9 pick, whatever, and it's easier to move up or not move up, or someone could be there for you when you pick normally. And you're not quite good enough to be really good. You're caught in this ether, in this kind of middle gray area, where if a couple things break right, you could be 10-7 this year, 9-8. I'm not really confident in that, but you could. And that's what they're going for. That's fine as you're developing some of this young core, but you still lack that long-term sustainable answer that I'm desperate for. And I think a few people are. Most people are not like me, though. They're very content, I think, to just kind of ride this out after last year.
I don't think it's content. Like, I'm not content not having a quarterback. I'm just not going to spend every day, like, waving my arms, screaming about it because this is not the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
the time to get the quarterback was 2 months ago, and they didn't do it. So I've moved on. The equivalent of like, you know, the tax date. You pay your taxes on like April 15th, right? I find out on April 15th, I got really bad news. I got to pay thousands of dollars, let's say. 6 months later is not the time where I walk home and my wife goes, how's everything going? And I go, you know how everything's going. We need to pay $6,000 for taxes. No, I did that on April 15th. Like, I can't just do that every single day.
Well, we're not doing it every day. When Ron Rivera says, you know, this Fitz thing could be a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's news. So we're reacting to that. And that's, this is my point, is that this isn't just a one-year thing. They know they're going to be in the same quandary next year. And that's kind of what I'm pointing out. So you're right that I'm freaking out about it because it's really upsetting to me and I'm passionate about it. So you're right. But at the same time, they're acknowledging it too. They know that they don't have this thing solved and they're open to this one-year fix being more than that. And that should be alarming to people, I think.
Yeah, it is possible, I think, that keeping Fitz around doesn't necessarily mean that he's just a 16-game starter next year. If he plays well and he's good enough to keep playing, he means something to your organization. He can be an asset to you, and it doesn't mean that it precludes you from going out and getting that quarterback. But it was the first time I'd heard that,
mm-hmm.
and it's one thing for you and I to spitball that Fitz could be here for more than a year, and it's another to hear Ron Rivera publicly say it in an interview. And to not have done so before this, to my knowledge, makes me think, by design or purposefully, he hadn't. But that moved the needle just a little bit for me last night when I heard that. Grant and Danny on the Fan, you can react to Fitzpatrick possibly being more than a one-year guy for Ron Rivera at 800-636-1067 if you'd like to. This Terry Bradshaw audio on Aaron Rodgers. Interesting. Is he the bad guy here? Quarterbacks that are unhappy, that want to be traded, generally aren't viewed favorably. But you'd think when you've won an organization a Super Bowl and multiple MVP awards and you've done for Green Bay what Rodgers has.
Some deposits there.
That maybe you'd side with him over the GM and the head coach that have only been there for a few years. Doesn't sound like that's what's happening. That's next.
Does Rodgers have a right to be this upset with the Packers?
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. Now, I don't know what was said behind the scenes. I don't know what, if he said, look, I'll play this year, and then I want out of here, and they said, fine. Then he's the MVP in the league. I don't know. None of us know. Unless he told some insiders, and they're saying if I don't hear it.
It's a tough guy take from Terry Bradshaw, though.
Huh.
He's weak, talking about Aaron Rodgers. Get into Bradshaw on Rodgers in a moment. You hit us up at 800-636-1067. The Gambit DC listener lines are open. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC. Let's go to Mark in Largo, wants to hop in on Ryan Fitzpatrick possibly being here for more than 1 year. That's what Ron Rivera said on national radio last night. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, pal.
Look, Grant, let me explain to you why Danny's upset. And I hear it in Danny's voice. Danny, I'm there with you. This smells, and you'll agree with me. And, Grant, if you really think about this, you will agree with me, too. When Kyle Shanahan got up on from what we heard, said that he loved John back and he loved, you know, Rex Grossman and all this other stuff, and the season tanked. And then we had 2012, which became chaos because Snyder wanted Griffin. I'm not saying that is going to happen in 22, but I will say this. There's a lot of fans that wanted Washington to trade up to get Justin Fields. I don't think no one's upset about not getting Kyle Trask, not getting Kellen Mond, and not getting
Mac Jones.
Davis Mills. I get it. They like him. But they wanted, I mean, to let the Bears come up and get him. They were behind us. And if you look at the Bears in Washington, they're the same type of team. They just need a quarterback. You can't let the Bears do that. You can let the Patriots do it. You can let Denver do it. That's fine. You cannot let the Bears from behind you come and get a guy that you wanted. We all know you wanted him.
And that's what I think Danny's frustration is. And what hurts him, like it hurts a lot of us, is, and let's keep this on the table. Everybody wants to get Dan Snyder's cool crap, and it's true, and I agree with that. But let's be honest. There's only been two coaches in the last 20 years that have drafted quarterbacks in a draft, and that's Steve Spurrier with Patrick Ramsey and Joe Gibbs, who had to trade back in the first round to get Jason Campbell. Everybody else hasn't done it. No one wants to talk about that. But when Dan Snyder puts into it and he gets a quarterback, everybody has a problem.
Appreciate you, dude. Thanks, man.
I don't get the last point. What was the last point?
So the only times the coaches have done it, it's okay whether it works out or not. But then when Dan Snyder does it, he takes Robert Griffin. If you believe that nobody had anything to do with it other than Dan Snyder, then that didn't work out well, and we got mad about that. I think that was the point.
Okay, football people picking football people is not going to make me as mad as Dan Snyder doing it. Sorry. Now the quarterback getting drafted in the first round is always going to have to be an owner decision, like a head coach, like a GM. In that they have to say yes or no, and they've got to sign off. But David Tepper shouldn't tell Matt Rhule who he wants. Mm-hmm. We know that David Tepper wanted a quarterback. Guess what? They didn't take a quarterback. So, yeah, I guess I would say to you, I am always going to be more frustrated and annoyed when Dan Snyder picks a quarterback than when a coach or a general manager does.
Mark, I apologize if I got your point wrong there, just as you were making it. So this to me is less about Justin Fields. I don't care about the specifics of one quarterback over another. I'm not good at evaluating quarterbacks. I thought last year at number two, I would have taken Tua. That looks wrong. Justin Herbert's better than he is. Maybe that's how their career goes. Maybe it's not. I mean, we'll see. But I'm not a professional evaluator. I need the professional evaluators to find someone they like and make an effort. And I understand they didn't want to. I want them to want to. I guess that's the fundamental disconnect there. That would be my summary of my position.
Yeah, I guess for me, if I was a bigger proponent of any of the guys in the draft, I think Lawrence is can't miss. I think Wilson is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Those two guys were going in the first two picks, and to me, they were the can't miss guys. If I'm going to trade all the way up, I got to be really, really sure. I'm not really, really sure about anybody else. I'm not really sure about Mac Jones. I'm not really sure about Justin Fields. I'm not really sure about Trey Lance. So I can't fault him. There's not enough tape on Lance. With Fields, I don't really get it because I happen to like the player.
Right.
But a lot of football people around the NFL don't seem to like him as much. So something's afoot there. And in the case of Mac Jones, I actually think he'll be okay, but there's limited athleticism and tools. I just don't think the ceiling is as high as you're looking for in the middle of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I think quarterbacks taking 15, Dwayne Haskins recently comes to mind. That's the pick he went with. He'll be better than Dwayne Haskins in the NFL. But if I'm asking a team to trade all the way up in the middle of a build, that cost, you better be sure. And they weren't. So I got no problem. Build this thing up. Go get yourself a tackle. They did it. That pick would have been gone. Go get yourself the linebacker you need. That pick would have been gone. Next year in the first round, you're going to have to take a quarterback possibly. Prepare yourself. You're going to have to go get a veteran. Get prepared. I think they understand and know that, but nobody's sitting here telling you that the Ryan Fitzpatrick experience is the goal or that I'm particularly happy about it. Go back to the day after they got him. I'm whelmed. I'm fine.
Very whelmed.
I preferred a lot of other things that didn't come to fruition. The moment they went and got Fitz, this was very clear to me how this was going.
Yeah, same here.
So you didn't see me sitting around thinking they're trading up for months. I wasn't doing that. They got Fitzpatrick. They're pretending like they might trade up. They have no interest.
They had
they're
no
going to build everything up around him and try to win 9 or 10 games this year. That's what they're doing. Fine with that. Get yourself a quarterback as soon as you can, though. And if next year they neglect it, all right, let's go back to the well. Let's talk to Benjamin Solak about the draft class. Draft Network next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.